to ever beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. November 2nd, 2014, Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, on No Borders Radio, on everbeyondradio.com. And I'd like to welcome, oh, maybe even Awake Radio. I don't know if they're simulcasting us, but Awake Radio possibly. It's all growing. We're a growing media network that will possibly cover the globe if somebody steps on us. Anyway, here we are. Tonight, my guest is Olivia Sandy, who is quite big in her own country. We don't know about her, but she's big as a singer in her own country. But here she is in Britain, and you got some very interesting ideas. And I'd just like to bring you out. Would you like to tell us about how you got to the place where you wrote the book? So you basically, if you want to kind of fill us in on the backstory of where this book, which is a children's book called Draco Invasion, which doesn't sound to me like a children's book subject, but first of all, welcome to Ever Beyond. Hello, how are you doing, Olivia?
I'm doing really fine, JP. Thank you for having me. Wow. Right. So
go on.
Wow.
Sorry.
I've been trying to think how to sort of start off, and it's really difficult because I'm such a spontaneous person, and every time when I try to make a plan and sort of schedule or whatever order, then you know, it pretty much falls apart. But you know, coming out just recently with the book, it was also a very sudden decision. I've actually you know, I in the beginning I just wrote it for fun because I enjoy writing. But what I've understood now in the past few years is that I need to get closer to that, because it feels like it would be more serving my life purpose. So yeah, pretty much I wrote that book actually already last year, and it was very, you know, sudden. It happened within one day actually. Now recently I was like, why not have it out there? You know, in the beginning I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous, you know, who would want to read that? But started thinking that, you know, this could become quite handy to some people, maybe.
So
so
Olivia, tell us obviously it didn't come out of nowhere, or maybe it did come out of nowhere, but in terms of, like, you've been aware of, you're up to speed on the reptilian agenda. Let's put it that way, are you? Or had you not heard about, like, David Icke or anything like that beforehand? Did it just come to you? Or were you, how did you get introduced by the idea of, well, first of all, the Draco agenda and the idea of an invasion? You know, that's not, you don't get normal with, well, do you get normal little girls in Estonia? Just tripping along with their lollipops and their pigtails, and suddenly, oh yes, Draco invasion, there's a thought.
Yeah, well, I need to give a little bit credit here with the title to my mother, with whom it sort of has been, we have been following the lights of David Icke and such people for actually quite many years now. I have a lot of respect for his work, and without people like Ike, I think we would be living in a very dark world. But in that sense, so where it came from, I've made a little notice at the end of the book that I was inspired by my nephew, and my nephew by now is just only 6 years old, and pretty much that is it, you know. All the events and everything around me and my family members is just like, when I look at it now, it's trying to tell me something. So my little nephew, since he was a little toddler, he has been just like obsessively talking about dragons and dracos. And what was happening was, when I used to babysit him and spend time with him, he would just draw them and ask me to draw them. And in the beginning, I thought it was maybe from cartoons, but I started observing the cartoons that he was looking in. It was usually Cartoon Network, and I didn't see many dragon cartoons there. So I was like, really? I wanted to know what's the reason behind that. And of course, I was already fully aware, due to my own personal experiences also, that there definitely is something weird going on here. And then I was like, one morning I just woke up and I started writing the book. And by midday I was actually done with it already, because it's not a very long one. And I was just trying to imagine what was going on with my little nephew. And the other thing is that my little nephew, even though he's six, he has very serious problems with talking. He's just not able he's not able to pronounce words for some reason, so he goes to get help for that. But overall, he's very intelligent, and I had theories that, he was autistic or whatever, but now I'm pretty much convinced that actually he is fully aware. And maybe the reason he's not talking is because we don't need to bloody talk so much, any of us, that he's just not interested, that he's a doer, because when I see him, he really does these strange things all the time, and it just, like, I feel like,
like, for instance,
for example, he's very sensitive to conflicts. If me and my sister would already start, then he would come between us and he would just spread his hands out and he would be like the peacemaker. And then, for instance, if we're out and about, he would grab everybody's hand and put them together and do, like, he wouldn't even say 1, 2, 3, he would just go like 1, 2, and then he would go, hey, and he would laugh, and he's like really, really, like,
just to lift everybody's spirits.
Yeah, to raise the frequency. And the character in the book, I guess, Olivia, well, he doesn't have a little sister, but he has a little brother in reality who's 3 years old. So, but I was just using my own imagination to obviously not go word for word what's actually happening. But It's very interesting. I'm pretty convinced that the new generation children, such as him, are like many people, researchers talk, that their DNA is untouchable. It cannot be tapped into. It cannot be changed, manipulated, even though the lifestyle that they're living, because one of the things is with my nephew is the lifestyle, you know, the endless junk food, the endless cartoons, the endless computer games. And I see that obsession, but yet there's that within bright light that cannot be tapped into, which is, you know, thank God for that. Thank God for that, because that is, you know, they are our future, I think, and we're depending on them. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm going on.
So your mother was basically, so you're like a second generation truther. That's a fascinating thing, you know, because, like, I know, I can see my son, and he's kind of absorbed the stuff that I was into and his mother was into, and he's taking it to the next level. You know, he's going off to college now, but he's so, like, aware of everything. And kind of accepting of things in a way. He's not like as triggered and rageful as we are. He does what he can to live the life that he's going to live, you know.
Absolutely.
And so your wee nephew sounds like a little warrior, a little light warrior.
Yes.
Almost hitting the ground running. Now, what's his connection? So is he, does he say anything about who he is or where he's from?
I've been trying to interrogate him.
Oh, you can't interrogate them. No, they won't answer questions.
And my sister is like, just, you know, never mind him, because my sister is her third eye is, I don't want to disrespect her, but I don't. She definitely doesn't agree about reptilians and Dracos, because she thinks that is ridiculous. But what was I going to say?
So that's her. That's his mother.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, I mean that's usually the case, and you know, you'll be the auntie who understands, you know.
Yeah, that's the way
it is. So you've written this book for him, basically, as a kind of confirmation of his reality, in a way. Is that the way you're kind of angling this?
I'm trying to really channel and be as lyrical as possible here. I wrote the book because I'm just trying to do it. I wrote it as a confirmation to sort of, I hope that one day he grows up older and it will be like, wow, auntie understood me, you know? Cause when he talks about it, I was like, my God, if he was my son, I would just sort of bring that to life and even encourage it and sort of explore that. But what happened with him was the Draco, talking about it, that was, that happened when he was around four and a half, but now he's six, and the last times that I've seen him, he doesn't talk about it anymore, because what happens is, my qualifications are in psychology, and what I've understood in developmental psychology is that the critical period, then yeah, it, you know, around six and seven, when it's time to go to school, then the ego starts kicking in, and you know, you're really adapting to your surroundings, i.e. his family. So I think now it's where he's been sort of put in his place by society and everything else closer, that you're, you know, it's unacceptable. You're not gonna go on talking about dragons, because he really was obsessed, I remember. And I remember my mother was cheering, and she was like, "He is trying to warn us." So you see, my mother meeting his grandmother. So, you know, it was the crazy auntie and the crazy grandmother that understood him. And yeah, so he doesn't talk about it anymore as much. So, you know, I guess I did it as confirmation, so hopefully maybe other families that notice these symptoms that can sort of keep an open mind and really understand, because also I've been fortunate enough to encounter these sort of to better understand the Agenda 21 and everything public health related and how they're trying to target children nowadays. My nephew is unfortunately been pumped up with vaccines already since a couple of years old, and you know, these kind of things I had to come to terms with and really, you know, understand my sister that, you know, she did it out of worry, but it's serious stuff, so it really does affect. I think even the reason why he cannot talk, maybe it might be related to all the consistent medication and all that stuff. So, you know, it really, yeah, I'm trying to like really target all these topics with this very simple book, I guess. It's just testing the water, actually, because I'm working on longer and more complex stuff now. So hopefully in the future that can be released. JP, are you there?
Yeah, of course I am. Okay. It's his, I have to mute my mic, otherwise people get the echo that comes back, so I get a better signal. So this is fascinating. So, tell me, Olivia, how you went from being a singer? How did you start being a singer? Were you, you're quite well known in your country of origin. Yeah. You have fantastic English. Do you speak lots of other languages?
Well, since coming from the background that I'm coming from, I should technically be speaking more languages. But right now it's limited to fully fluently two, which is Estonian and English. And what's similar to Estonian is also Finnish, so I guess that can be counted. And I should be talking Arabic, but what happened was at the age of 7 when we left Kuwait and the war started, so I was so dramatized by the whole experience that going from that Western to Soviet Union country, from, you know, Pizza Hut to, you know, only pickles and Coca-Cola on the store shelves, that I forgot Arabic. And I woke up one morning and I wasn't able to speak it, and I was forgetting English and I was trying to learn Estonian. My mother got really bloody worried. She was like, right, okay, this child is not going to talk anymore, anything anymore. So, that is limited to two languages now. In a sense, I'm going around the world, JP. I don't know why I'm doing that now, but as far as singing, it was in Estonia, and I started off really early. I started off at the age of 12. I started writing music at the age of 10. I sort of got connected with local people from the industry somehow. And then I released a song around that age, and it became really a big deal because I was one of the first R&B or hip-hop artists in English that sort of came to the market. And interestingly enough, the song lyrics for that time and that age were already awakening related, because I was talking about going up to the sky and living in paradise. So, you know, people really related to that, and sort of it really, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, that till the age of 18, I was sort of called, well, I had a few other songs following, but essentially nothing could beat that song. And then I was in a way called a one-hit wonder, but then later on I continued, I released under, you know, dealing unfortunately with the same crooked people that, like, longer materials such as albums, and then again, but nothing could ever really beat that one song for some reason. And I feel myself also, though I'm getting back to the same message now lately, doing my own thing. And, you know, back then I was very disappointed that things were not clicking along, but I actually got very lucky that I could escape that, because I feel that if I would have got involved back then I would have been just a shallow, empty shell
exactly,
by now.
Exactly. You know, my co-host Katie Galanti and I have spoken and speak a lot about the dark side of the music industry and the entertainment industry, about the ritual aspects and all that sort of stuff, you know, really exploring it in a very deep and dark way. And yes, I believe you did get away. You know, you have gotten away with it, and you've survived to tell the tale. And telling tales, this is where we get to. You had the book, and it just popped out, didn't it? It just came, and you say you channel it. So you've always had this kind of spiritual connection. It's almost like a lightning bolt, isn't it? It seems to be like you blast one, and then you don't get much for a few years, and then boom, another one comes.
It is interesting.
Isn't it?
Who talks about this kind of, like, what happens with artistic people when they, you know, create something? Teal Scott is saying also that, you know, you channel in those moments. And that's exactly like, you know, in this book, I mean, if you're not in that mood, it's not happening. But if you are, it will just happen within hours. And you know, I don't know where is that coming from the source, of course, you know. It's a very interesting process, actually.
I think it's what people call inspired, you know.
You know, JP, I just want to say something before I forget. I remember you saying in one show that, you know, these waves hit the earth at some points, and many people get inspired at the same time, because you said that Michael Jackson said that when I get an inspiration, I need to run quickly and get it copywritten before Prince does it. I believe it was you who said that.
I don't think it was, but that sounds like a good, that's exactly the kind of thing. Thoughts are things that have people.
There you go. So sorry, you were going to say something else.
No, it's great. Good thing you've been, I'm very pleased you've been listening. So we've got so much negative influence in the music business. And obviously, you've seen how dark it is and what they're after. And not for you. So you're looking to creating your own media, which is kind of what we're doing here. Wolf Spirit Radio is, we're creating media, we're creating content
that
is enlightening and information dense, doesn't bullshit anybody. We lay it out flat.
Sounding great. No, honestly, I've been tuning into you guys for a while now, and it's really, wow. You know, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for people like you, we would be living in a very dark world, you know?
Wow.
So, appreciate it, yeah.
Thank you. And so, you know, we're growing the network, and we're going to be doing other things. We're going to be doing video. I bought wolfspirit.tv earlier this summer, all in preparation for building up sites and just to, you know, if anybody's interested in being part of the Wall Spirit TV team, you know, the Wall Spirit radio team is one group, you know, and it's all right. Part of a larger group, but there'll be little nuggets in the whole basket, as it were.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's good. You guys are expanding, and, you know, I'd love to contribute if there's any way I can.
Cool. You know? I mean, you've got, for a start, you've got your audience that you've already had over the years, and there would be some that, you know, were 12 years old at the time and have grown up with you, and maybe even have followed you through your path and your expression. So you never know who might also still be listening. And that's fascinating, isn't it?
It's interesting. I mean, I was getting even confirmation that people remember, you know, even now living in Spain, I got involved in real estate, unfortunately, very evil and materialistic, but I happened to work with the two Estonians, and they were like, listen, are you that same girl? And I was like, yeah, so it is interesting that you're saying this. I need to actually use that in a positive way, maybe now with the up-and-coming stuff. Hopefully they can relate, you know, and I hope that's what you're trying to.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is you'll have there'll be people who will also gone along the same path. You know what I was saying earlier about, you know, the thoughts have people. You know, they hit the wave of thought hits the world at the same time, and Jackson has to run to publish it before Prince does, because they're tuned in on the same frequency, you know. This is something I've discovered is, you know, stuff that I'm kind of really just in the beginnings of toying with. Say 1 year, it'll be 10 years and it'll be mainstream. And I've seen this over and over and over again. I've been experimenting with radiant energy technologies and things like that, and I discovered that I was 14 when I discovered it, you know, in 1975. I was playing around with this thing, and I spoke to my physics teacher, and he completely dismissed me. So we're tuned in to these frequencies, aren't we?
Exactly. And you know, just briefly about the music industry, it is I mean, in my longer material now, that's exactly, I'm going to be covering all of that stuff, and obviously I'm not an expert, but it's just maybe my experiences can like shed some confirmation on it, if you may, again. It really, you know, people, what they talk about, it really is there. It really is out there. I remember even, I mean, I feel like I've been lucky, because even in the United States, I was dealing with labels that now host Jay-Z and Rihanna, thanks, you know, the likes of that, and thanks to the material that I was doing in Estonia, because it draw that kind of attention. I'm so happy that it got canceled the last minute, everything, because, like, I don't know what would have happened to me, you know? It would have just been probably the end of me. So, all these synchronistic events, like, where, you know, I was just, like, show business, and then moving along and really coming to terms to that I need to get street smart here and start educating myself and actually earning initials, unfortunately, like higher education to get some damn respect, you know? It's just how synchronicity is really interesting, and I just wanted to know your intake on the synchronicity topic. What do you think?
Synchronicity is a very interesting thing, and it's something that's very close to our hearts, here at Wall Spirit Radio, because it's all about synchronicity, because synchronicity appears to be synchronicity from the point of view of where you're standing. But from the inner point of view, it makes sense that it just is the way it is, because you're making it happen. You're making the synchronicities happen. You're charging yourself. Here's a little thing. And a friend of mine was telling me about the spider's web today. He saw a nature program, and he's telling me about this. And a spider's web, what it does is that the fly, in its buzzing around, is positively charged. It, you know, sheds electrons, it becomes positively charged. And the web is negatively charged. And being an opposite, it attracts the fly electrically.
Really?
Electromagnetically. And in this way, we magnetize thought and reality to bring the things in that we need to bring. And in a way, when you need something, you're charging yourself and you magnetically attract the thing that you need, and that brings themselves to you in the cracks between the places where you think you know what you're doing. And that's what we call synchronicity. How about that?
That is an interesting intake. I was I haven't bought the book from David Wilcock that he released, I believe, a year ago. But what's been happening with me also is the figures, you know, 22, 22, 21, 22, 11. You know, it's like to a point where, you know, I see it like a million times a day already.
So the trick with that one is what you're thinking at the time.
Yeah. And do you see those figures?
All the time. It just keeps reminding me that I'm part of the continuous consciousness matrix.
It's very interesting. Dolores Cannon said that 11:11 then is like, because I sometimes in the morning I'm like 11:11. Oh, okay. She said, oh, that means like it's a hug. You know, they're just giving you a hug. It's like positive. And then sometimes when I communicate with people and they like get in touch with me at 22:11, like now I've cracked it, I feel like it's like a warning.
But yeah, because it's 3:33 PST right now, just on this moment.
right.
So we got the threes. So yeah, and what are the qualities of numbers? I mean, this is something that I talk about on the show quite a lot, is the seven rays. And so I've got a particular slant on what the quality of each number might be. So, you know, ray one has a quality of leadership and synthesis and things like that, and will and power and strength and, you know, muscle and royalty and ruling and all that kind of business. So every number's got its thing. But it's interesting because 11, all right, is the pause button.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it? You know, you have a triangle for play and you have 11 for pause.
Right.
And the whole World War One ending on 11-11-11 is like, we're just putting the war on pause.
Right.
And that, so it starts again. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
I my dog's right 11:11 on the floor. I keep cleaning it up.
Yeah.
That's from Sacramento Joker in the chat room. He's very funny. He's
all
like,
right.
He has the face for video. Yeah, bless
his
heart.
I am not tuned into the chat room. I think I need to do that.
Listen, if you are listening, and you may be listening on various other websites or other connections, you can tune in to wolfspiritradio.com /wolfchat, and that's where the main chat and go chat room is. If you've got a chat and go ID, it'll just automatically pick you up on that. And I'm in there as Wolf Spirit Host, or is it Wolf Spirit Host? Wolf Ho, I don't know, something like that.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, right. There you are. And yeah, so it's a good old evening. Hello, everybody. Look at you. Yes, Cosmic Reality, Nimble Horse, Old Ones, Sacramento, Bright Eyes, Tracy, and Wolf Spirit Host several times. Yeah, that's me. Because I've got several windows open. If anybody's interested in the book that you've written, this is like a draft version of it, manuscript.
It is, and to be honest, we need to get back to the book now, and I'm waking up now.
it's all about the vibration. I'll talk about that a little bit later, because this is something that a message came through from my higher thing, and it might be relevant, so we'll talk about it in a while. Uh-huh. But your book, Draco Invasion, here we are, and if you click on the picture on the webpage, you get to the larger version of the thing. Mm-hmm. And this is a story about true freedom and self-belief, it says here. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about this character, the green fellow at the back, and then there's a little boy with with blue hair and a golden glow, and then there's a little red-headed boy or girl or child, yeah, tiny one with a yellow jumper and a gold aura.
I'm very happy that you see the golden glow. That is exactly how I'm trying to portray these kids, that they have this golden, untackable glow to them. Very happy you noticed that. The drawings, unfortunately, nobody wanted to help me out, so I had to portray them myself and do them. Obviously, they're not the best.
You don't need to apologize. This is your expression. I mean, it's good enough to see that that's a Draco, and then there's two kids, you know. So, so tell us about Mr. Green here at the back there.
Pretty much when I wrote the book, I was trying to. The green character there is what I believe that my nephew was saying. And due to my own personal research, then this is how I pictured it, it just portrays a reptilian figure there, and then due to my imagination, that's what I feel like what's happening nowadays with kids, that they see these creatures, and these creatures are trying to manipulate them. And, when my nephew was talking about the Draco, he really seemed like he was, upset. He seemed, unease, like something was wrong. He was like trying to warn me, because I remember that many times when he drew it, he would point at the picture, and sort of like, this is what I see. And unfortunately, because he couldn't express himself, I just, I felt like he wasn't really happy that it was this, that something was wrong, I guess. And what else? So
we got the larger and he's got the thing in his hand. What's the? Is that a briefcase? Is that a battery pack? What's Mr. Green holding in his left claw?
This is it, the briefcase now is a nuance that I'm thinking about, obviously following the sequences for the story, because at the end I've said to be continued, and the briefcase symbolizes soul snatchers. So this reptilian figure is attempting to capture Peter and involve him in their project and make him a sort of, how can I put it, to be one of the favor agents, right? And snatch his soul and just, you know, that is to put him in a box. Who was it who was talking about that these, have you ever seen the TV series, Stargate?
We're big fans of Stargate.
Right. So, just, you know, asking, sorry.
sure, no problem, no. We're up to speed on, well, I know certainly, all right, yeah. Okay, me and Tracy, we know about Stargate. I don't know about anybody else, but Tracy and I are big fans of Stargate, so, yeah, we're up for that.
Not Stargate, actually, Stargate Atlantis, there is these creatures called the Wraiths, so I heard that
The Wraith, yeah, they're horrible, aren't they?
They're actually, what I heard, I don't know who was it, but they do exist on moon now, in the moon bases, and what's happening is that they snatch the souls, they switch them, not necessarily with kids even nowadays, but with even adults. And this is similar to that theory, that this Draco is then, has a briefcase, and a long story, I don't know if you got to that point, where Peter and Olive looked out of the window and they saw many Dracos flying, and many of them were carrying the suitcases. So that was exactly what was happening. You know, to put them in a box, the kids. What else is there? The Draco is not the only character. If you got to the point where the Draco wanted Peter and Olive to meet his friends, this is an important nuance which I was hoping to capture the young parents who are not very clued up maybe about, you know, normal things about living healthy and eating right and so on. So those three friends of the Green Draco were one of them was Velon, which is actually also in a reptilian group. Velons are what Chris Thomas talks about. I've read quite a few Chris Thomas's books so far. But I just, you know, I was using a little humor here. And then the other friend was a gray. And that's the thing. You got one of the first copies, but actually I need to correct that mistake. The gray should be symbolizing video games instead of sugar. So I need to correct that. Quite important nuance there. And then the third character, the friend, there was the gray Velon and Anu, i.e. Anunnaki. So I got very creative there, and that one was junk food. But I wanted to get very creative here with the friends. I would have put gladly wheat, because I've researched quite a bit of nutrition, and I actually in real life I practice bioresonance food allergy testing due to my own previous health problems. So I really was obsessed with putting the Anu as wheat, because I know about the wheat agenda globally and how they
Let's talk about this. This is a little nugget that we've been digging at in the last couple of weeks is yeast. Not necessarily wheat, but yeast. Because yeast makes beer, and yeast was so-called given to the people by the Egyptian gods. And we know now that the Egyptian gods were imposter mafia who began to infiltrate the earth. So it's a very, very interesting thing, because wheat and beer are delicious and irresistible almost, and yet they are a total poison. I totally agree. Very, very interesting. So tell us what you've discovered about wheat and beer and yeast?
Well, I've discovered very much, and actually it's been a life-changing event for me. Like I said, I've been quite lucky that I am so sensitive, you know, in real life. And my body literally came to rescue me at some point. I had this ongoing allergy since I was a little kid that I couldn't understand, and it was very extreme. But up to 2011, I quit drinking 2010, and 2011 my body started shutting down. My liver and kidney, and getting up in the morning was a very big effort. I wasn't obese, but my allergy was out of control, and I just couldn't put my finger on it, what the hell was going on with me. So what happened was I somehow, again, synchronicity, through a clinical doctor, actually, funny enough, was put into contact with a natural healer. And she was doing bioresonance, and I went to her, and she got me tested, and she sort of started telling me about, you know, that I have wheat allergy and dairy allergy and so forth. But it's just a lot of nuances. Before that, the reason why I started wondering, why am I experiencing these allergies, that even though I am taking the supplement MMS by Jim Humble, that, you know, I thought I had already detoxed the yeast and candida and mucus, everything out of my body. But yeah, it was like I detoxed, but my body was doing overwork, so still putting the wrong things into my body, i.e. wheat and dairy and all that. Which is reflected in the book also. If you look one of the pictures, I have yeast on the bread with big letters. Peter and Olivia are having breakfast. Anyways, I was wondering that, you know, but it's very, very serious. So through that, acknowledging that I'm eating the wrong things, I've cut them out. I've been away from them now a couple of years. Then I noticed that really I've done the clear mind, clear body protocol also by Ron Hubbard with the lymphic exercises and sauna. After that, I feel like my third eye was just really wow. I was getting serious downloads after that. And then that's, you know, that's how I'm now really living up to my potential. I'm eating right. I'm aware of alchemy. I'm just now, from now on, it's going to be uphill for me. And, the wheat is, it is the agenda, right? What I've understood so far. Who's talked about the wheat agenda? You're talking about yeast, yeah. That's my personal conclusion. Yeast is same.
Yeah, yeast is the apparently the gods had two kinds of yeast. They had their yeast and they had yeast for the people. And I think that in one of the things that Jesus is meant to have said, he says, "Beware the yeast of the Pharisees." And I'm not sure if he's talking metaphorically or actually the Pharisees had control of the actual culture, because the person who's got the culture has the power, because you've got the power to make bread and beer. If you don't have the yeast, you don't have the bread and beer. It's easy to get it nowadays, but in those days it wasn't.
Absolutely. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we're crystallized beings, and apparently the wheat flour then, it causes calcium poisoning, right? So calcium poisoning is one of my biggest fears personally, because I feel like my allergy was connected to the overindulging of the calcium and the dairy, and then the fungus, the yeast that was like blocking my energy. So, you know, I was taking MMS, it was flushing it out, but still, you know, I'm the kind of person that all I need is just one teaspoon and the antibodies will just go wild within. So I'm definitely, you know, very, need to be very careful. And it blocks your cognitive and your third eye, because there were time periods now when I look back where I wasn't registering half of the things around me. I was literally, you know, like not brain dead, but you know, I wasn't really living a real life.
Well, that's what we call asleep and being part of the thing. You know, we all have this moment of being Neo in the Matrix, you know, when he's in the office and he's just like before his awakening. You know, we're all like that and we're all scared. And it's when you kind of learn to allow the fear to just happen and you realize, hang on, I was just, the fear is worse than the thing itself. And then you start moving through it all and realize that there's a lot of illusion, and most of the illusion is the fear of something, you know, that something is really big and scary, like the big authority and all the big government and all this stuff, when you realize suddenly it's just a bunch of corporations with a bunch of really weird perverts behind it.
Absolutely.
You know? You know, what's a country and what's royal and all this BS, it just all crumbles. And then you do get the future reality that we want to have. So in your book, how is the invasion stopped? What's the story? Actually, we should do this in the second hour.
I think we should. Yeah,
because we're coming up to the top of the hour. So do you have on your SoundCloud that I can play any music that that might illustrate our point, or even just some music that people like,
Well, on the SoundCloud, actually, I just have vocals there. My previous work is, not there.
See, they're just vocal tracks.
They are just vocal tracks.
Oh, right. Well, in that case, I better not play any.
Yeah, exactly. There is one track with background music. Maybe play another side of me. Let me just click and see if that is there, because it has background music. It doesn't really go with the theme that we're on now, but, you know.
Well, it's another side of you. Hang on, I've got it here. Let's see. There, this has got some stuff. Okay, here we go.
I'm sorry. On my mind 24/7, my dough is a dough. But now I know you supposed to pack your shit, that's a dough. I don't ever wanna see your face right in the mold. I feel too early, but money raised me better than that. So pack your bags, take your shit, and get the fuck on my flat. I know them bags and them shoes, girl, I'm taking them back. Move on my face, girlfriend, it's way too late for that. And your boys are irritating, get the fuck on my way. But you love me, you wasn't thinking about it that day. Forevermore, lose that bread, I only chat in my name. Next time you see that pussy, tell him Jay it's about. I might run up on his team and put a gun in his mouth. Girl, it's over, fuck him and fuck you too.
Yes, funk it.
Wow. Yeah, that didn't really go with the theme because it's an older song that I put there. But I was hoping, actually, since you're a musician, that maybe you can help me out with a couple of tracks.
Well, I've got various tracks that don't have any vocals, so I'm very happy to share some of those and see what other singers do,
because
I'm no good at singing myself.
You should send them over.
But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But this is a part of the thing. Is there's a new creative wave of expression that is coming through the Truth Network. It's like, before we were reporting things.
Yeah.
You know, David Icke was doing this, and then we had the channelers, they were in this other thing, Barbara Marciniak and all that stuff. And now everybody's doing it in the moment, live, and then creating on top of that.
Yeah.
So it's like we're catching up with real time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, wow, incredible times that we live in. I mean, you know, even the ones that, you know, just are in baby steps, like, you know, they're not really acknowledging. It's like, they're like, you can see that through their actions, just not, you know, like even the other day, one friend of mine that I know, he's a very corporate guy and so on, and he's like, you know, Olivia, the other day I had a nervous breakdown, like I just woke up in the morning and I sat down on the pavement and I decided I'm not going to go to work. I don't care, it's a very good job, it pays you well, but I refuse to live this life, you know. It's really interesting how even these kind of people, very left-brain people, are now like, you know, they want to live their purpose. So now he's like, I want to write poems, and I want to sing, and I want to do other stuff. Like, you know, it's happening to everybody. We're all getting involved.
That's right. I did this in, it happened to me in 1990. I was walking, I was in London, I was living in a cooperative, housing cooperative in East London.
Right.
And I walked, I was working in University of London Children's Health, what is it? No, Institute of Child Health.
Uh-huh.
In Russell Square in Bloomsbury. The best part of London, isn't it? You know, Bloomsbury.
Yeah.
The nicest, where the universities are. And so anyway, I still, you know, I got out of the tube at Russell Square, crossed the road, and I remember very distinctly, and I can still see it in my mind, looking down what is the name of that street? I can't even remember the name of the street now. It wasn't Gower Street, it was the other one. Anyway, we're behind the Children's Hospital, Great Ormond Street.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's like Great Russell Street or something like that. Anyway, so I remember looking down it and I thought to myself, sod this for a game of soldiers. That's what I thought. I thought, this, you know, this is, I get up in the morning, I go to work, I work until my head hurts, I go home, I eat, I watch TV, and I go to sleep, and I get up in the morning, etc. And the whole thing just goes around, 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 and I'm wasting time.
Exactly. And we're getting out of that. Like Simon Parks is saying that, unfortunately, we build a living, and hopefully it's going to change. This is a prison planet, you know, and it's like it needs the bloody end. Because this is, and that's what I'm getting into in my longer material that, you know, is, I haven't been the luckiest person. At the same time, I've been very lucky that I've avoided these, like, you know, catastrophic events. But at the same time, I've just been continuously also feeling the struggle and so on. And getting all these obstacles and blockages, like, so now I feel, I don't know, I mean, up till 2016, like I told you the other time, I feel like we really need to buckle up now, because I'm sensing that it's, now they're really trying to use the last force that they can to do that, but yeah, we all know that by now already. And with this book, getting back to it, right, that is exactly what I feel. I was like, you know, it's so silly because, you know, a few years ago, the old me, well, not even a few, actually longer, the old me would have been like, come on, this is so lame, like Draco Invasion, like get the hell out of here. But now I really feel like this, because this is how you need to communicate with some people in baby steps and children's book, drawing silly little things and you know, little, do you understand where I'm going with this? This is exactly, so maybe you can contribute.
So let's talk about the book and, you know, what happens in the story? Where does it start? Because just as a thing, you know, there really was an intense Draco invasion that was incredibly violent and bloody, but a long, long time ago and not here. But it's in our racial memory, and that's apparently what happened on the planet Lyra. When the first time the Dracos met the humans, you know, they virtually tried to eliminate them the moment they met them.
Right, and
been at war ever since, like a million years.
Right. Okay, I'm going to just now get it right this time and start from the beginning. Story is then, a family, very simple family. I was hoping that this is a factor that everyone can relate to. Peter's parents were very regular. The father, I believe he was a driver. It's not very important. Mother, a nurse, just trying to do her job, I guess, that kind of a nurse, not analyzing. And then you know, Peter, who they very much loved and wanted the best for him, was born into the simple family to show his parents perhaps righteous and right living. I guess this could be also related to my sister's family, you know, where she's not very clued up about right eating and you know, not, you know, you shouldn't feed your children McDonald's and let them watch cartoons all the time. So this is right, this is it. So Peter was seeing these things, and he had a little sister who was the balancing factor as far as female energy or whatever. This is as far as symbolism, I put the names deliberately because have you seen the series Fringe TV? It's one of my favorite.
Yes. Peter and Olivia,
much.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happens?
and Walter.
Yes, my favorite. This TV show, it really is the best TV show on the planet, really. So what happens is that Peter and Olivia apparently represent the names of the male and female energy. And this is what I'm trying to portray in this book also. How this unveils later on, I need to, we'll see about that. But then Peter starts to see the Draco coming into his life, and then it starts to look at the lifestyle. Why? Because you know it's very unbalanced, the diet that Peter and Olivia, you know, they're into cartoons and pancakes and the Draco comes. And confirms he's trying to encourage them to just continue down that path. But they're very lucky because then there's the other character, the Mooncat, who's sort of the observer and trying to tell them that, you know, not to take that route. And there's a decision point where then Peter needs to really start looking within and understanding self-belief. Because, you know, there's a little nuance there where Peter eats all this crap, but, you know, he always ignores the feeling that he doesn't feel good after that. Why is he ignoring that? So I put a question mark at the end, you know, because I noticed that with my little nephew. There was a point where, you know, I remember we were visiting a relative and then my sister pulled out the bag of little pastries and then suddenly he ate all the pastries and then at some point he had nothing else to do but just to scream from the top of his lungs, and everybody in the room just looked at him like, what the hell happened to this kid suddenly? Because that's exactly how many of them live. So, you know, in a nutshell, that is the point, you know, making the right choices. And I was hoping that maybe, you know, it would be, let's say this book is out there, right? I'm not saying that the people who are aware of this already understand common sense that you need to eat right, but perhaps maybe there's someone, another auntie like me out there, and she hears about it, and she will buy this, get the book and give it to her sister, right, who needs a little guidance in a humorous way. This is Abe, JP. Do you get my drift?
You're putting the message out there. So it's very interesting that where do you start in the book? He starts to see. They start to resolve. So it's like they're interdimensional and they're making themselves apparent. Or does he suddenly start in questioning his own what he's noticing? As Rebecca Jernigan says, he begins noticing what he notices. You notice what you notice, you know?
Yeah, that's well put. I think that's it. He is... maybe they didn't want to be noticed in the beginning, so the Draco sort of... I mean, maybe he was like, okay, so here I am, and we're ready for you, because that's what he admits to Peter some point, sorry, that you know, we've been observing you, and we have this great little project going on, and we want to involve you in it. And then this is where I'm trying to integrate how to get street smart, and this is my personal experience dealing with the business people, let's say, in my life, how they try to manipulate you. They try to make you feel special in the beginning. You are very special. You are very strong and talented. We want to evolve you. So this is where I'm hoping that if a kid reads this, he will start to, maybe that will leave a mark. So later on, synchronicity in his life will be like, this person is trying to manipulate me. You know, and this is an old tactic that's been used out throughout history. Oh, you're very special and so on. And then they pull the rug from below you when the time is perfect. So there's these nuances that I'm trying to integrate there in a very simple way. I hope that makes sense.
Well, so we meet the Dracos. And how does he start interacting with them?
So the Draco, I think, was trying to deliberately just do a grand appearance. The first moment when Peter was with Olivia, they were in total shock when they saw the Draco. Then he came back to stimulate that excitement, because Peter lost the plot after that, because he started just talking and drawing the Draco. And then they came with the friends, and there is where it got even more interesting. Up till that point, Peter was completely fooled, because he really thought he was special and talented, and he wanted to be part of that project. But then there was these little warning signals that were coming along, and then he was being warned that, you know, don't be fooled by it. And I'm just trying to collect my thoughts. That is essentially it, JP. It's not a very long book, I mean, but I'm trying to think now. So he meets.
Yeah. So I mean, basically, what we're looking at is how does the relationship develop? Is it are they discovering, you know, is there an enmity that gets resolved, or is it just get more and more scary as more and more. You know, because you're talking of that, there are various entities around, and they all do seem to hang out together. The Greys and the Mantids and the Narkies and their factions, and they don't like each other, and you know, they're still at war, and we're tiny and cute.
Exactly, and that is as far as I'm concerned, I am a firm believer that children see, and that's exactly what I'm trying to say in this book, that he is seeing. It's just very unfortunate that when the mother entered the room and Peter and Olivia were making all that noise, that she didn't see what Peter and Olivia were saying. It's a fact. They see, and then, like we were talking earlier, that he's not talking about it anymore at the age of 6, so that means that it's numbed down. So at some point, you just give up and you stop seeing it. So he was lucky enough to still be seeing, and this is where the decision point is, actually, that are you going to now exercise that and really develop that and contribute to this very special, you know, time where you can help change the world and so on. So to answer your question, absolutely, he was definitely seeing them.
And so the idea of a Draco invasion is, or the title of the book is saying that there is an invasion, we're in the middle of it, we're at the end of it, it's already happened, What's the deal? Where are we? And is there hope? Is it a hopeful story? Do we live happily ever after? I want a happy ending. I like a happy ending.
Yeah, there is going to be a happy ending. I know that Jordan Maxwell keeps saying that there is a light coming, and that light is a train approaching.
Yeah. I was listening to that last night, and I heard that, and it's like the light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming. He's a miserable old git, anyway. But maybe he is, maybe, I don't know. Who can say? But he does seem a little hopeless about the whole thing, but, I don't know. That's just his. He's probably, you know, he looks like he's had too much yeast.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? He looks like he's like, oh, he's finally succumbed to the yeast monster.
Mm. Well, you know, I don't blame him because, to be honest, just up to a moment ago, I thought the same, unfortunately. But there is just continuous reminders and examples that are coming now that I really hope that Dolores' theory is true, that it is a cell splitting. So, you know, who are left behind are gonna stay with what they have created. And I think that the story is gonna be like that. The up and coming. I have quite a few approaches to the continuum. Just want to sort of see the feedback on this one. I've read this story to a few kids, and to be honest, they were really registering really well. They were, you know, for example, one comment was when the Draco first appeared. Then a sweet little boy, also six, my friend's son in Spain. I'll get back to him, actually, which is important. He was like, when the Draco appeared, he was like, oh, is Peter scared now? So, you know, I was getting pretty good reactions during my pilot study because I had to see, you know, maybe I'm really delusional and I shouldn't release this. This is another thing, like bringing him as an example. He is, I think we're going to hear about him in the future because he is a complete rebel. I was babysitting him the entire summer, and every time when I would go pick up this boy, he was going to a state school, a Spanish one in Marbella, he would be in the intention or the, how do you call it, he would be always in trouble, in other words. And I would have to speak to the teacher and be like, what happened today again? Oh, he was throwing the chair around the class. He was hitting another student. He was attacking the teacher. So this is it. I was trying to read him the story and then explain to him that, you know, that you need to believe in yourself. You need to believe in yourself and, you shouldn't hand it to them in a golden plate because you're doing them favors. That's exactly what they want. You know, probably that teacher was the Draco. You know, I mean, because she really, you know, wasn't really doing her job, in my opinion. I really felt like it was important to mention this example because I'm pretty sure that many parents, if they're, you know, one day listen to this, can't relate to this. It's just happening too much nowadays. And this is part of the agenda to just numb you down, suppress you, and, you know, I've been through that personally in school also. I mean, even though, yeah, absolutely, it will just take every bit of creativity out of you, that experience. So this is another thing that needs to be confronted, really. I hope it will change in the new dimension that we're shifting into soon.
Well, I mean, it's part of We need to practice it. And the other thing that we need to practice is, like, the control of our own thoughts, because they'll bring us down. If we keep having negative thoughts, they'll, you know, we'll keep having negative experiences, because we're creating. And if we keep having positive experiences and positive thoughts, then we can build up on that, and we can see which way it goes, you know. And you can rhyme it so that it's, you're not too positive and not too negative. That's the trick, is to be able to navigate the straits between positivity and negativity, and ride down the zero point, which is where all the energy is.
Exactly. I mean, what would you recommend? Because it's
what do I recommend? All right. So, I mean, a 9-week course starting. Come to my website and buy all my materials. You buy the pills. You buy the hat. You buy the gown. The wand. The rod. Okay. The pyramid. The apron. The chickens. The coop. The eggs.
Right.
You know, the whole thing.
Right. But the thing is that with the pyramids on your website, I heard that they're not good, really. Because I know a couple of people who have them all over the house, and this one, I don't know who was saying that they symbolize something. But, you know, some say it's just brilliant, amazing, and balances your space. I need to try them out, the pyramids, absolutely.
Yeah, well, the thing about a pyramid is actually in the building of them, is you learn an awful lot about stuff you didn't know that is significant.
Uh-huh.
That's what you learn. And particularly if you're a musician, right? And you understand harmonics. You do you play guitar?
I don't, unfortunately. I tried to learn piano, but okay. I didn't attend.
do you know if you were to sing a note that in a building where it resonated, you know, like you're in a big kind of resonant chamber and you go, ooh, and the whole thing, and then you sing a note that is like in a harmony with that, so that it'll continue doing the first note, and then you jump up to the next note, and you end up singing a harmony with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a geometric relationship. It's exactly like geometric forms, like tetrahedrons and pyramids and all of that stuff. And music and form are very connected. In fact, everything's connected to vibration.
Absolutely. You know?
So when we're so we've got all these devices, right, which are connected with pure form. Okay, what I mean by a pure form is a pyramid, you know, but a perfectly shaped pyramid that may be have a relationship. Say it's 1 inch of, you know, it's 1/1000 of 1,000 inches. You know, it's just exactly the right size to be a kind of exact scale model of it. And in that exact scale, because it's, you know, because it's on the scale.
Yeah.
Same word. Absolutely. You know, scale is all about scale. A higher note, it's a part of it spirals out. It's all about spirals. It's all about notes. And then that extends to how planets follow stars through the solar systems and the galaxies and things like that. And it's all about the way that spirals spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the moment that here we are.
Exactly, because it represents life, you know, the circle. I really need to try it out, JP. Sounds very intriguing.
Well, it makes meditation a lot easier. If you, you do this in private, but you stick at one of these little 9-inch pyramids on your head, and it helps to calm your mind, because basically it's kind of like sweeping, you know, like these Dyson vacuum cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a thing called a vortex in it. It makes this horrendous screaming sound because it's a tornado, a tiny little tornado. And what it does, it creates an enormous vacuum that draws in all kinds of stuff into it, and it transports it to another place and settles it interdimensionally into the little bag. But the idea of a vortex that draws things into itself to clean things, that's a metaphor as well, because on a subtle energy level, that's what the pyramid does.
Uh-huh.
It creates a vortex, and it's like a vibrating string.
Very interesting. I really need to try it out. Yeah. What I've heard is literally you sit inside a pyramid, you build a mini pyramid, and you sit there a little bit inside and meditate. Yeah. Because this is the head one, right?
Yeah, this is the head one, but I've got a design, actually. It's very simple. I don't know how practical, mechanical you are, but I've got a little sheet that I give away, which has the design of a 7'6" pyramid or a 6-foot pyramid, that you can sit under or stick your bed in, and it's just quite simple to make. You just need a copper piping that you get for the household piping and a cutter and a hammer and a drill, just regular tools to make this thing.
I mean, it is interesting. I've even heard the people going to the extent where they place an upside down pyramid above their beds. And there's this one who told me about it.
You should see my bedroom. What I'm not kidding. My bedroom. I've got where is it? I got two pyramids on the shelf in front of me at my feet. Above that, there's a tetrahedral form of four tetrahedrons interlocked. Then above me, there's a squiddly thing. Behind me, there's all sorts of piles of organite and stuff like that. I get a good night's sleep with a memory foam mattress. Really? Nothing can touch me.
Wow.
Because they act as like a kind of a hoover, a vacuum cleaner. So anything that comes my way just gets...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Then I need to try that.
You get a damn good night's sleep inside a pyramid. And, I'm not into selling things, per se, because I'd rather people actually built them and then showed other people how to build them. I ain't going to send one across to America.
right. Well, I definitely need something like that because it's getting better lately, but at some point I was definitely being tapped into during my dream time and being completely manipulated and drained. Because there was a period now just recently I just couldn't sleep at night, but now it's sort of getting better.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people experience that. It's not personal. It was global almost, because I was getting people in Australia, people in America. We're experiencing galactic waves. You've probably been hearing this, and it keeps people in weird sleep. I've had the weirdest sleep pattern. Somebody had said, "What time zone?" I live in JPMT, which is like I'm on 4 hours, off 4 hours, and let's see what's happening,
Well,
disconnecting from time, what we regard as regular time altogether.
Exactly. You're probably much ahead of me, at least. I need to, I feel there was something definitely going on, and the sun storms and all that was definitely not helping well. It was very difficult, I gotta say. And this is one of the things that I'm gonna put in my longer material. I mean, the dream time manipulation. I mean, Andrew Bartz talks about it, it's there. It is definitely there. How to balance that? How to stay balanced is just. It's definitely a trick. I guess, you need to do the right eating. And then lately now I'm trying to take Peter Moon's advice and really try to practice the Qigong, because I feel like this one is really helping me lately. Wow. And plus the big doses of magnesium every day. You know, wow. I'm telling you, all Kevi is everything, and it's not only eating, it is really also the spiritual Kevi, so... But it's exciting. It's exciting. I'm really... This is like... I've just opened up that door. I'm just really... It's amazing, now. And it... Very interesting, actually, you know.
So, tell us about the your film project and the kind of people that you're wanting to attract here to complete the project.
And,
yes. See, you got your friends and that you want them to complete your project. Oh, that's very interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it? You're looking to friends to complete your project. Will a grey, a reptilian, and an Anunnaki turn up? There's a thought.
I'm on a mission here. Well, the film project now that I wanted to get ready by the end of this month, through a miracle, I shot all the scenes now. This is why I came back to London to finalize it here. I wanted to get it done by the end of the month to submit it to the Basis Project Film Festival, but Miles Johnson said that it's going to be postponed to March. So that now bought me a little time, but I still want to get it ready because this is my baby. And film, it reflects scenarios from my own personal life that I've experienced, and my personal experience has been with quite weird and wonderful people. I've reincarnated into this life somehow, really attracting how can I put this, the theme of the movie, of course, is again manipulation, and I need to be honest here. It is about reptilians also, and I wrote the movie also in a short period of time because I could really relate to it, and this is I'm really trying to understand also. More and during the shoot now I'm really also coming to realization. So the movie concept is about a woman. She's a psychologist, and she has an encounter with a so-called reptilian. It's a walk-in situation, and this can reflect closely to my own personal experiences, where I feel like some men that I've dealt with in the past, who have been actually from quite political backgrounds and sort of hierarchy, higher, whatever, that there was something very wrong with the picture. And I got recently confirmation in Spain. I got so inspired. This is the thing. Sun is the most healing thing, apparently, you know. So I got so inspired, and I had very strange encounters there that confirmed that this is real. This is real. This wasn't, you know, just like back in the day, you know, I was on party mode or whatever mode I was on. I thought that, you know, that was not true. But now when I was clear, I had a clear head in Spain, I was meeting like certain characters, and I'll bring you an example. I met a businessman from a Jewish German background, and he was a contrary as far as characteristics, outside characteristics, to my previous encounter in London, who was from a Nigerian background. He looked at me now in Spain, and I got involved with him, and he confirmed with me. He was like, you cannot beat the reptilians because you either join them or just lose. And I was like, why am I meeting such people, you know? And why would he say this to me?
And why would he say that to you?
Why would he say that to me? And when I was dealing with him, I was looking at the previous man that I was intimately involved in London. I was, even though he was blonde, blue-eyed, completely opposite of the one here, I was looking at the same person, and I was like, oh my God, that, why? And then that was in the first encounter. He's like, you cannot beat the reptilians. You either join them or you just, you know, lose the game. So I got so inspired by all these situations. There's other weird encounters also in Spain. I really got confirmation about the satanic world of the entertainment business, where I was doing a show reel, and then there was this older man, and I would, while being in his house, one figure is a joke, but you know, the whole office was full of Aleister Crowley statues and shit like that. So that was really freaked me out, and I really felt like there were people locked up. Are you there, JP?
Sorry, I just had to play. I just had to play my jingle.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really felt when I was in that villa that there were people locked up in the basement, you know. And then other weird encounters there, meeting, because I got involved in real estate, and I met some, in my opinion, soulless characters, artificial, very weird. And I got so inspired by, and this is what I'm talking about in my longer material, why does this happen then to females like me? This is connected then to my past life regressions, maybe, where in the previous life I was a male, again, businessman and so on, and probably my contract for this lifetime was to then, become a female, but I misuse my opportunities because I've been naturally drawn. I draw in powerful people from, you know, hierarchy, whatever. And I misuse it, but now I'm on a mission. I'm gonna use it right. And this is why I came in, I guess, as a female, that if I would have used it maybe a little bit earlier, I would have had more results by now. Maybe been someone and more catch the wider crowd. But, you know, there is a time for everything. There is so much that has happened, you know, again, well, but I'm not going to lean into that right now because I'm drifting away.
Well, you know, the whole thing about making it big and that mm-hmm. big illusion is you don't really want to go there. I mean, yeah. If you like music and if you enjoy playing music to people, then go out and play music to people.
Exactly.
You don't need to wait for that A&R man to turn up at your gig. You Absolutely. Just go out and play music to the people and enjoy it. And that's what it's all about. But many people have this illusion, oh, I'll go on Britain's Got Talent, or I've Got Talent, or Estonia's Got... you came in through, like, the R&B network. So you were 12 year old and you did an R&B song. A hit song, is that right?
Yeah.
Holy,
yeah.
Holy Lord. So, and when was this?
And it wasn't a typical R&B song. I mean, if you really listen to the, I'll probably send you the link. I mean, back then, I think my third eye was wide open till then, because, I'm really talking about, you know, awakening and like I said earlier, going up to the sky and living in paradise and you know, like a positive message. It wasn't a typical R&B song. No, it would definitely not be that.
No mentions of your twerking or anything like that. So yeah, that, no. that's refreshing, I have to say. You know, because like I like there are certain genres I like. I mean, I like rap and hip hop, but I'm not like gangster or anything like that. But I actually like the beat and the way the lyrics work with the beat and things like that. And I like the arabesque of R&B. The whole thing, just like Arabic singing, where your individuality is marked by the way you end the line of vocal. Yeah, and that's the same thing that happens in R&B, isn't it? There's lots of... You know,
exactly, and that's the thing. That's why I didn't add the new links for the recent albums and so on, because I really was made to do music that I didn't want to bloody do. I didn't want to do that stuff. Even now, I thought it would sort of be a good CV, but no. What I do now lately, even, you know, the vocals and so on, it is definitely more like, I don't know, it's different. It's like probably more rock and blues and folk and so on, yeah. Because the frequency is everything, and it's just, you know, I don't know. It needs to be very good to carry any meaning, you know, in my opinion.
So you're kind of going from R&B to R&B.
I'm going Johnny Cash. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
So you're really kind of slowing down the frequency, going out on the spiral.
That's a high frequency.
Yeah. Oh man, you got to get one of Walt's spirals. I think. Listen, you first of all need some shunga in your life. Have you got? Have you found one yet?
Yes, I. After when I spoke to you, I got mine out, and actually they need to be in hot water for 24 hours. So I have only 5 pieces, and I didn't put them in hot water, but I just pour the water in a cup where they're sitting there now.
They don't need to be in hot water for 24 hours.
You know, that's interesting.
Who says that?
That's I was advised when I bought them in the beginning, because it activates the rocks. But, you know, you don't need to do that. I agree with you. So you can do it mentally and program them. I program the crystals and cleanse them before putting them in the cup, I mean. Shungite, wow, you know, it's great, really recommended, really do. It's very interesting stories I have with it also. It will block the negative. I've seen it, but you need to be careful and I guess program it in the right way. It will really enhance. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we love it here. We've been having great fun making things. There's new things coming up. I'm yet to do the photographs. I've got a whole list of photographs that I've got to process tonight. Wolf Baby's got a whole new bunch of things that she's made, including these kind of dragon tooth pendulums, which are really neat and very inexpensive, I have to say. She's not charging a fortune for these things. In fact, I still think she's undercharging. But anyway,
beautiful pieces. Yeah, beautiful I saw pieces. Them. Wow.
She wants people to have them. You know. So check in the next couple of days. We'll see some more things. So she's actually started. We worked it with originally with the smooth stones, and now she started working with large pieces of the rough stone.
I have the rough versions, you know, because you have the polished ones, but mine are rough. And what I noticed when the heated water is over it, when I was drinking that water, I got to admit, really, like I was getting to a point where I didn't need to eat, because apparently they're so full of zinc and magnesium, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I really, when I was drinking, I was so content, you know.
You know, the only thing I drink, I don't drink much water, but I drink tea, and I've got shunga in my kettle. And so when I make a cup of tea here, it's awesome. It's a lovely cup of tea. It's the best cup of tea, and everybody comes around here, because I'm on a spring as well. Maybe.
Oh,
I,
wow, you're lucky.
Yeah, so I've got this spring water coming down the mountain when she comes, and it's probably full of E. coli, but it doesn't matter. We're all immune to it now. And so this having the shunga in the kettle just adds the cream to this really lovely creamy water, and
gives it a nice taste.
Wonderful cup of tea. Wonderful cup of tea it is.
Exactly.
Full
exactly.
of antioxidants. So yeah, it's lovely to use this stuff, and we've been having great fun with it, making new things.
Any other examples you got, like communication, how it sort of affects that? Or?
Well, all I have to say is that since arriving in our relationship, it's transformed.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, uh-huh. you know, it's like it's given my girlfriend a real sense of purpose, and she's loving it. She's loving doing every minute of it, and it's awesome. Wonderful. It's like it is everything that she's always wanted to do, because she's making like a healing tool. She's busy with her fingers. She's doing detailed things. She's playing with metal and hot metal, and you know. She says herself that she's a dragon, and she likes to play with fire and melting things. And
yeah, she's the positive dragon, because there are the positive ones too. Yeah. The dragon is a different creature, anyways. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, because the word Draco does mean it's Latin for dragon, isn't it, or Greek for dragon?
Yeah, well, the dragons in the Chinese mythology, then, they are like, they're different. And I'm trying to understand also and research that, but, you know, the Draco, like, in the, what's his name, in the Philadelphia experiment, they had an encounter with your Royal Highness Draco, and he was describing him as partly lizard and human, but dragons are, you know, they are the big, those fire spitting creatures, so they're actually positive, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what the book is about, though.
this is the other lot, the other greenies, and they're not so pleasant. They don't like us. In general, and this whole, you know, is I love it when you say it like that, you know, you can't fight the, and this is just their propaganda, isn't it? It's the same as resistance is futile. Yeah, all right. Okay. No, it's not. It's quite effective.
I really, even that time when that guy, I mean, obviously he was being, something was channeling through him and trying to tell that to me. I'm not giving him the full credit to that man who, the Spanish incident. Definitely, because I saw him even change something. He was like completely drugged up even at that point. But that's exactly when they get to you, you know, when you're pumped up with some other stuff. And I felt like telling him that, dear human being, that you know, we outnumber them, actually, so don't get it twisted, okay? And you know, luckily many of us understand that, you know, that no way, you know, you can't give the power to them, you can't give them that much credit, because, you know, yeah, that's what they want us to believe, pretty much.
So, in the last few minutes, how do people, would you like to kind of let everybody know the kind of people that you're looking for, if they're interested in your project, and how they can get in touch with you? Do you have the website yet, or you have email and things like that? So, now's your moment.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate the time and opportunity. A little bit unprepared as far as the website. It was very sudden, actually, this show today. I have other websites, but they're not relevant to this theme.
Will they have links on them eventually to the new project?
You know, I'll give out the email.
Yeah, give out your email. That'll work.
Exactly, and it's very straightforward. It's synchrospublishing@yahoo.com. You know, good old Yahoo. That's being observed.
Can you spell out very carefully Synchros Publishing?
Exactly. SYNKROS, Synchros, as you hear it, and publishing as we know it, and then @yahoo.com. So, you know, if anyone has any questions or wants to get a copy of the book, I'm going to now make sure that certain things are changed there too. So yeah, give me a shout and get in touch. Absolutely.